KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, it's 70 degrees and mostly cloudy outside KJAN. Overall for today, we do look for some possible scattered showers and storms early this morning with some patchy fog. Otherwise, should become mostly sunny later on with a high near 87 degrees here in the Nishna Valley. Good morning, I'm Brett Johnson with KJAN News. In the news this morning, authorities say a teenager has been arrested in a sexual abuse investigation involving a family member in Sac County. Officials say a 17-year-old boy was charged as an adult with third-degree sexual abuse and incest on Friday. Investigators say a local doctor contacted the Sac County Sheriff's Office in February to report the sexual assault of a girl. Sheriff's officials in Mills County say the driver of an SUV involved in a fatal crash last October has been arrested on a warrant charging him with vehicular homicide. 21-year-old Timothy Scott Mahan was also charged with two counts of injury by vehicle and OWI with intent. Mahan was arrested April 30th at the Mills County Sheriff's Office. His bond was set at $35,000. Authorities say Mahan was driving a 2002 Jeep at an excessive rate of speed on Ellington Avenue, which is a gravel road just east of the Offutt Air Base, just before noon on October 19th of last year. As he topped a hill, the vehicle went out of control, entered a ditch, and rolled several times for an estimated 50 yards. Three passengers in the Jeep, 19-year-old Chance Eric Gunderson, 23-year-old Felicia Mary Hansen, 19-year-old Jacob Allen Whaley, were ejected from the SUV as it rolled. None of the victims were wearing a seatbelt at the time. Some of their clothing and other debris were found in nearby trees and strewn across the crash site. Gunderson died at the scene. Hansen and Whaley suffered critical injuries, while Mahan suffered serious injuries. Iowa courts online did not list information pertaining to the charges against Mahan as of late Friday morning. Authorities in Pottawatomie County are investigating the circumstances surrounding a school bus rollover accident Thursday afternoon near the Pottawatomie and Mills County line. Sheriff's Department Chief Investigator Sergeant Dwayne Ritchie told KJAN News on Friday the accident involving a Lewis Central Community School District bus happened at around 3:20 p.m. on Applewood Road.
He was southbound on Applewood. A car was coming towards him, and so he pulled over to the side of the road, to the edge of the roadway, and basically it looks like either the tandem wheel slid off into the ditch or the roadway gave way.
The bus toppled onto its side and into a ditch. The driver of the bus, 73-year-old Floyd Clausen of Council Bluffs, and three students on board the bus, all of whom are also from Council Bluffs, were transported to area hospitals. That accident remains under investigation. The Harlan Police Department reports a Kirkman man was arrested on drug charges on Wednesday following a traffic stop. 20-year-old Colton Kobold was taken into custody on charges of carrying a weapon, possession of drug paraphernalia, and two counts of possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, and methamphetamine. Kobold was being held in the Shelby County Jail. No other details about his arrest are currently available. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources is monitoring the cleanup after a fertilizer fire at a co-op in Hornick in western Iowa. The fire at the Western Iowa Cooperative broke out on Tuesday. The Woodbury County Sheriff's Office urged residents to evacuate because of concerns about air quality and the residents' safety. The DNR says a small dam built by firefighters prevented water runoff contaminated with fertilizer and herbicide from reaching a ditch which drains into the West Fork of the Little Sioux River. The dam and additional sand barriers were also preventing runoff from storms that hit Tuesday night. Officials say the fire was caused by a malfunctioning loader. No one was injured in the incident. The DNR does not plan to take any enforcement actions. Taking a look at Iowa state news, additional charges have been filed against three people suspended in a robbery and shooting at an apartment near the Kirkwood Community College in Cedar Rapids. KCRG-TV, citing trial information filed on Friday, says in addition to attempted murder and other charges, Taryn Huff of Des Moines, Raymond Sellers of Chicago, and Chantress Johnston of Cedar Rapids are now charged with conspiracy to commit forcible felony and going armed with intent. Huff and Sellers are also charged with possession of a firearm as a felon. Sellers was one of three people wounded in the April 20th shooting. He was arrested after he was released from the hospital. A University of Iowa researcher will square off against a nonprofit that manages the school's intellectual property in a trial over whether he was denied the chance to make millions off potential treatments he discovered for arthritis. Medical School professor Donald McFarlane claims the UI Research Foundation managed the patents and his discoveries in a way that shut down his research and cut him out of a lucrative sale of the technology to a drug company. The Johnson County trial starts on Tuesday. His attorney plans to ask jurors to award $25 million in lost income. That outcome could cripple the finances of the foundation, which reported $26 million in net assets in its latest tax filing. But one foundation board member says he's confident the group would successfully defend itself in that trial. A recent study underscores the dangers presented by nighttime tornadoes. Scientists at Northern Illinois University found twisters that strike between midnight and dawn are 2.5 times more likely to result in fatalities. National Weather Service meteorologist Jeff Johnson says nighttime tornadoes are infrequent in Iowa, though.
Here, our prime time for tornadoes is roughly 5 to 7 p.m. That's our peak occurrence. And then after dark, it drops off sharply. You can get nighttime tornadoes in Iowa, but they're much less frequent than, let's say, in the lower Mississippi Valley or the Deep South.
The scientists reported less than 32% of tornadoes that touch down in Iowa do so between midnight and dawn. Johnson says it's not surprising that nighttime tornadoes are more likely to kill, as most people are sleeping and unaware that a tornado warning might be in place. He advises Iowans to seek out reliable warning systems during the overnight hours.
Probably your best bet is a well-programmed NOAA weather radio, which you have it programmed down to your county. That way you don't get overwarned. But really, that's probably the best way to get woken up in the middle of the night in the event of a tornado warning.
There have already been several tornadoes in Iowa this year, following 51 twisters last year. Johnson encourages Iowans to take weather warnings seriously and find a safe place to go when they're issued.
Generally speaking, if it's a severe thunderstorm warning, what I personally do is check the warning itself and see what the hazard is. If it's high winds above 70, 75, I may choose to go down to my tornado shelter. If it's just some, you know, 1-inch hail, maybe not. Maybe I just stay inside the house. But that's the best thing to do, is just kind of know the hazard and then take the correct action.
The Northern Iowa study found that from 1950 to 2005, just 27% of tornadoes were nocturnal, yet 39% of tornado fatalities occurred during the overnight hours. Well, storms rolling across the upper Midwest are bringing strong winds, rain, and hail, and the threat of tornadoes to northern Iowa. National Weather Service says a funnel cloud was reported yesterday afternoon about 3 miles west of Algona. It reached the ground, but no debris was seen and no damage was reported. Winds of 65 miles per hour were reported in Estherville with some hail damage near Armstrong and Lone Rock. A tornado warning was issued late Friday afternoon for parts of Hancock, Humboldt, and Kossuth counties. A severe thunderstorm watch was in effect late Friday night in northern and central Iowa. As the threat of storms will continue throughout the weekend, as thunderstorms, locally heavy rain, and flash flooding are possible, as we do have a slight chance for severe weather here in the KJAN listening area late tonight, so keep it here on KJAN if we do have any severe weather. And a Waterloo pilot is expected to plead guilty to at least one charge stemming from an indictment accusing him of falsifying his flight experience to obtain a license. Fahad Nabil Hussein Al-Dous is due Friday in federal court in Des Moines for a charge of a plea hearing. His attorney, J. Keith Riggs, said Thursday his client has reached a plea agreement with federal prosecutors rather than to go on trial. He says he could not comment further until the agreement is filed next Friday. Taking a look now at our funeral announcements on KJAN, 88-year-old Pearl Weston of Griswold died on Wednesday at the Jenny Edmondson Memorial Hospital in Council Bluffs. Services for Pearl Weston will be held this morning at 11 o'clock at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. 86-year-old Joanne Jody McMartin of Messina died on Friday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Jody McMartin will be held on Monday morning at 10 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Messina. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has the arrangements. 84-year-old Harold Wally Wallace of Greenfield died on Thursday at the Winterset Care Center north in Winterset. Celebration of Life services for Wally Wallace will be held on Monday morning at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield is in charge of the arrangements. 89-year-old Esther Dorothy Pierce of Atlantic, and formerly from the Hancock area, died on Thursday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Dorothy Pierce will be held Monday afternoon at 1:30 at the Reconvieth Funeral Home in Oakland. 100-year-old Esther Gosnell of Fontenelle died on Thursday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Esther Gosnell will be held on Monday afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. And 68-year-old Sherry Zeitlow of Urbandale and formerly from the Avondale area died on Wednesday at the Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Services for Sherry Zeitlow are currently pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. That's a look at our news on KJAN. I'm Brett Johnson reporting.